Good morning, it is 9 o'clock. I would remind everyone, please silence your cell phones. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the minutes from the May 16th, 2023 minutes were circulated by the clerk. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No.
A motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, I do have one addition to the agenda. Before we do vouchers, the clerk has several catering permits for the summer that she'd like us to act on. Good morning, Mr. Ruby. It's a pleasure to have you. We understand Mr. Crego is being a legislator this morning at the Joint Ag Committee, so we have you. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Madam Clerk, you have the first item on the agenda, Resolution 701. I believe this is a grant for the airport.
Yeah, it's a grant for the airport. It's a lighting project for the runway, and it's a matching grant for not more than $85,000. And my understanding is the library or the airport intends to do their 10% match out of 1%, bring remaining 1% funds.
So with that, I will convene a budget hearing of the Johnson County Commissioners. Commissioners, before us, Resolution 701, transfer funds for the 2022-2023 budget. Now, therefore, be resolved that in accordance with 16-4-112 and 16-4-113 of the Wyoming Compiled Statutes of 1977, the following necessary funds are transferred for the 2022-2023 budget year from the Wyoming Department of Transportation Aeronautics Division in the amount of $85,000 to Fund 37, the Runway End Indicator Light Project, or REAL, in the amount of $85,000 for a total changes to Johnson County budget of $85,000. Dated at Buffalo, Wyoming, the 6th day of June, 2023, published May 25th, 2023. Commissioners, there is the budget resolution to amend the budget. Is there a motion and a second?
I would make a motion that we approve Resolution 701.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded, which brings us then to a time of discussion. Commissioner Perry, any highlights on this that you'd like to share as liaison to the airport board?
No, just a project that is designed to make the runway safety more sustainable. Thing. We've had some problems with the runway lights in the past. And probably 25 years old, and it's time for some updates.
Mr. Shelley, any questions on that?
No.
As this is a budget hearing, I would open up questions or comments on the amendment to Johnson County budget. Public comment. Hearing no public comment, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, any final discussion on Resolution 701? Hearing none, all those in favor of Resolution 701 to amend the county budget, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are back on general business. Next item on the agenda, commissioners, periodically we look at 1% projects that have been completed but have outstanding balances and revert those funds back to the 1% fund. Before you, you'll see from fiscal year 18-19, there is $1,200 from the Harold Girard Park Water Cannon Project, $116.88 from the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce. There is the Joco First Fire Suppression System that I think we need to discuss a little bit further. Then you move into 19-20, $762.42 Joco. Harold Girard Park, $4,521. Youth Camp, $36.58. Microfilming for the District Court, in $169.22. Again, Joco, $5,952. There is remaining balance of the old courthouse flooring project that was halted because of COVID. Then you'll see in fiscal year, again, 1920, $44,000 left over in the computers, $1,500 from the assessor's vehicle purchase, $65.44 from the natural resource plan, $239.50 for the YMCA, $16,000 for Harold Gerard Park's concrete project, $986.01 for the youth camp picnic shelters. You have $22,000 from the Gatchel Museum soffit and window painting. And then moving into 2021, you have $1 in the Road and Bridges Gravel Fund, $1,887.25 in Mike's Pots left over, $28,000 for this building, $6,028 at the Fair Board, and $10,878.67 for the airport. And I'm wondering, Commissioner Perry, is that intended to be used as match on the lights? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll set that one out then.
The Museum. The $22,965.
The window soffit and painting, yes.
Yes, I would like to move that money forward into the repointing of the rocks and stuff on the exterior of the building. Part of the Harold Gerard Park money, I think the $16,730 was part of redoing some of the driveway, steel coat, and that sort of thing. And the $4,521 on Harold Gerard Park was specifically for steel railing around the new air conditioning system. And I think that that project really needs to be taken over by our maintenance, our facilities people. But the Gerard Park Board had initially wanted to hire somebody there locally to do it, and it never gets done. At one point, they wanted to, I think, pay the person ahead of time. I told them absolutely not. I left them, and I was down there last week, and it's never been worked on. So that would be all of my recommendations.
Okay. And I guess, I know, Madam Clerk, you visited with Rick Myers on JOCO and where they are in their fire suppression. And it sounds like they are going to have a couple of upcoming projects, so the hope was that we would leave that balance in place so they could spend that down as they address.
That is what I requested. The initial project that they passed the four funds, the bid came in like way, way much higher than they thought. So they're going a different route. They are doing some fire suppression projects. They're just going to go a little bit different direction, but he did indicate that they were going to be using that money.
So at this point, Commissioner Perry has asked that we leave the Harold Gerard Park Capital Improvement and the Gatchel allocations in place. Commissioner Shelley, do you have any thoughts on any else that we discussed?
No, I think they're fine at the moment.
Okay. So, Madam Clerk, at this point, looks like the commissioners are considering reverting $1,200 from the water cannon, $116.88 from the chamber, $762.42 from JOCO, $36.58 from the boot camp picnic tables, district courts $169.22 from microfilming, $5,950.50 from JOCO, $43,877 for the old courthouse floor restoration, which we can look at budgeting this year. The $44,392.71 from the IT expenditure. For
can I make a correction on that?
Yes.
That one, if you notice, that's a negative figure, and that we believe IT submitted that voucher to the wrong line, and so that will be corrected
okay
with an internal.
And we'll we'll just set that one aside. So then $1,500 left over from purchase of a new vehicle for the assessor, $65.44 from the county natural resource plan, $239.50 from YMCA, I believe that was the painting project. Commissioner Perry, did you want to leave also the Harold Gerard Park concrete and shop in place, or do you want to revert that?
No, I would like, well, we can either do that or rebudget it. One of the reasons that didn't get done, YDOT didn't have any projects in QC where we could partner with them on asphalt.
Piggyback, I think let's go ahead and just rebudget that. So we'll go ahead and revert that, as well as $986.01 for the picnic shelters at the youth camp. So, Commissioners, those are the projects up. Is there a motion?
Make a motion.
A motion and a second to revert the...
Chairman?
Yes.
What about the 2021, the dollar and the gravel?
Oh. And sorry, I didn't get that. So then $1 also for Road and Bridges gravel, $1,887.25 remaining from Mike Sopotts, $28,900, that was the steam boiler project for the new pipes, and then $6,028 outstanding from the fairgrounds. All right, that does, thank you, Madam Clerk, that gets us to the current fiscal year.
Scott should take a bucket and get a bucket of gravel.
Get one bucket of gravel with that dollar, I think so too, Bob, but that then clears up that line on the accounting software. So with that friendly amendment, any further discussion? Commissioners, all those in favor of reverting those 1% balances, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. I believe next is our public health nurse. So we would welcome her up. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thanks for having me. So I just wanted to chat quickly about us getting back a part-time county nurse at Public Health. Historically, we had another nurse, and we could still very much use one. We're pretty busy. I've got this. I kind of talked about some of this stuff last time, but I will, since you weren't here, I will go over a little bit of it again. We have this public health workforce calculator, and it kind of looks at the demographics in a given county, like population size, children in poverty, the health factors ranking, and calculates about how many people you should have at public health. And this says we should have 11. Right now we have 5. So I would love to get another part-time person just to get us closer to that number. Last year we had our community needs assessment, and we have needs that we need to address, and we need to bring in programs to do this. We also need to bring in programs for our elderly. We have some gaps in our community that we need to fill, and right now our staff are just full. We can't add any more to what we do. So I'm hoping that this part-time nurse can come in and help with that. I want to get back down to KC. Historically, we went to KC a couple times a month, and we served quite a few families down there. I would like to get back down there, and again, right now, there's just no way that we could do it. Our RNs are, well, myself and our nurse, we're already working overtime. In April alone, we worked over 20 hours, in May, 30 hours. And we have families, and overtime costs money to everybody. And so I don't want anybody to have to work overtime. And we're not even in our busy season yet, so I can't imagine once we hit fall what this is going to look like. So you, I believe, Commissioner Shelley, you asked for a quarterly estimate of people that we saw last time we talked. I kind of dug into this, and it's about, I think it was like 1,079 people or something like that on average. Unfortunately, though, this doesn't tell us a whole lot, just because the people that come in varies so much quarter to quarter. It could be significantly more. It could be significantly less. We just have, it's just kind of the nature of public health. There's a lot of variation given the season. So my request is that the county would take this position over. Last time I was in, I had an estimate of about a little less than 28,000 to cover it for 20 hours a week. But since then, the state has come out with a raise that they're going to give the public health nurses, and I would like to be able to match this for the county. So now we are up to a little over $32,000 a year for this. Again, it would be 20 hours a week. There's a few things that we might be able to get reimbursed for. So when they work on maternal child health things, we can get reimbursed from that unit. And when they work on COVID things, we can get reimbursed by COVID. The other hope is that, you know, we'll be able to offer more services, and so we'll bring in more money. We can get back down to KC. We can fill in the holes in our community where we might be lacking some services. We've got, you know, the senior center, the clinic. We've got these awesome things. We've just got some holes, and that's what public health is for, is to fill those holes. And so I hope we can do that. So I will leave it up to you guys if you have any questions now.
Was this submitted in your fiscal year budget request for this year?
So I haven't. I'm going to make an amendment to it, but I wanted to talk to you guys about it and go that route. But I would plan on putting it in there, doing an adjustment to it, I should say.
Okay, because we can't even consider creating a position if there isn't a budget allocation.
Right.
So that's the first step that's going to have to happen would be approved in the budget. We are facing a shortage of nurses and healthcare professionals. What's the possibility of being able to hire a part-time person?
I have high hope. We get people calling all the time to see if we have any positions available. I think in our community alone, a lot of nurses have to travel up to Sheridan, and I think a lot of people just want to stay in Buffalo. So I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to find one fairly quickly.
So then with that, do you anticipate someone would work a couple hours a day or a couple days a week? How do you envision using this person?
I think it will kind of vary, again, within the season, what days they're working. It should be about 20 hours a week, give or take, and then I'm hoping to have them go down to KC at least twice a month. If we get super slammed down in KC, we can bump that up. But the other part of it, too, is our schedules kind of vary with our home visiting and when we get LT assessments come in, kind of things like that. So their schedule might vary throughout the week, depending on when they're needed.
So if the commissioners were to approve this part-time position in the budget wouldn't go into effect until the 1st of August.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be your timeline on hiring? When would you anticipate trying to have somebody on the ground working?
I would hope to hire as soon as possible, and I would love to get somebody in before the end of September, before flu season, because that's when we really start getting busy and we get that higher volume coming into the clinic. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all the questions, commissioners?
No, I did with public health earlier today, and I think that I can see a reason for the request. I think that we probably can put off a decision until our budget hearing starts.
Yeah, that sounds
the
good.
Budget and see what it does.
Think the overtime to the budget mm-hmm. justify.
Okay. Okay, thank you, commissioners. While I have you, I just wanted to give you an update on our Narcan. It actually came in this morning, so I've got the Narcan for the county buildings. I have the county health officer signed our standing orders and our guidelines, so I will just get trainings out to people in the counties and then or in the buildings, and then, we'll get that Narcan done and have that all set.
We appreciate that. I know that was one of the items we discussed in our continuity of operations planning with the emergency management office, so I appreciate you taking the lead on that.
Of course.
And making sure that it's not only our employees, but it's also the general public that we're keeping safe. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, guys.
All right.
It's not a comment, it's a request. I'm sorry. We have background noise. I realize it's a commissioner's meeting, but can you guys project a little bit so we can all hear?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Commissioners, next item on the agenda is Resolution 702. And as we are all painfully aware of the fact that Johnson County lost a service member last year, and it put us into a very interesting position because we had a veterans memorial, but we had no guidelines, and really there was a question of who even owned the memorial. And so I worked with what records we had in the commission files going back to 1987, as well as the living members of the Veterans Committee that were alive today, that enabled us to go ahead and proceed with adding a name to Veterans Memorial. And so this resolution was adopted to lay out the framework for the event that we should ever need to add names to the memorial. So this is Resolution 702, Johnson County Veterans Memorial. Whereas the residents of Johnson County have answered the call of their nation and served in the armed forces with honor and distinction. Whereas monuments honoring the residents of Johnson County were originally placed at the Johnson County Courthouse. Whereas Johnson County wishes to forever memorialize the names of residents who have made the ultimate sacrifice while serving on active duty in defense of our freedoms. Whereas on April 7, 1987, Nels Lofgren, Ed Watts, Earl Forrester, with the Veterans Memorial Committee, met with the Johnson County Commissioners to discuss the creation of the Veterans Memorial Wall on the Johnson County Courthouse Complex. Whereas on November 3, 1987, the Johnson County Commissioners sent the Veterans Memorial Committee a letter commending them for the creation of the Johnson County Veterans Memorial. Whereas on November 11, 1987, the Johnson County Veterans Memorial was dedicated. The wall was inscribed in honor of the men and women of Johnson County who served in the armed forces of the United States in times of war and in memory of those who gave their lives for our country. Whereas, in 1988, the Veterans Memorial Committee disbanded and turned over maintenance and administration of the Johnson County Veterans Memorial to the Johnson County Commissioners. Therefore, be it resolved that the Johnson County Commissioners shall inscribe the names of Johnson County Armed Forces members who have made the ultimate sacrifice for their country on the Johnson County Veterans Memorial upon the nomination by the American Legion Post 13 or the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 2469. Be it further resolved that the Johnson County Commissioners shall bear all costs associated with the memorialization of names upon the Johnson County Veterans Memorial, made and considered and enacted the 6th day of June 2023. Commissioners, there is the resolution and the background.
Move to approve Resolution 702.
There is a motion.
Second.
It has been seconded. Any discussion on this, Commissioner? Hearing none, all those in favor of Resolution 702, the Johnson County Veterans Memorial, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And I would like to add a special thanks to Harness Monument for their work, as well as to the Rasmussen family, which I'm sure was a very difficult experience. So with that, I will move us on to Resolution 703. Madam Clerk, I believe you have background on this.
I do have a little background on this. I spoke with Jody Sauer from the Tourism Association, and they had requested that they be allowed to add their employees to our county benefits. I did some background checking with our plan administrator on health insurance and learned that there was an approval process that we had to go through. They got that done pretty quickly for me. They've got approval from Blue Cross Blue Shield as well as from our stop-loss carrier to move forward. Jody's indicated that she has no employees currently that will be on the plan, but they hope to hire somebody in the very near future and be able to offer that benefit to them. She said she plans on probably having one employee maximum ever at one time, probably two.
And refresh us, Madam Clerk, because Johnson County Tourism Association is a joint powers board between the City of Buffalo and Johnson County, that makes them eligible?
Correct.
And
it has to be an entity that the commissioners have control over board.
And they pay 100% of our costs to that, so this is coming at no expense to the county.
No cost to the county. What will happen is we'll pay that and bill them on a quarterly basis to the expense that we incur. It'll be no expense to the county.
So, commissioners, before you is Resolution 703, Resolution allowing Johnson County Tourism Association employees to join the Johnson County Health Insurance Plan. Whereas, Johnson County, Wyoming, here and referred to as Johnson County, maintains a self-insured health insurance plan, which is supervised by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Wyoming. And whereas, the Johnson County Tourism Association, or JCTA, wishes to have the opportunity to place its employees on the Johnson County Health Insurance Plan. And whereas, allowing JCTA to place its employees on the Johnson County Health Insurance Plan is beneficial to the taxpayers of Johnson County. And whereas Johnson County is agreeable to allowing JCTA to place its employees on the Johnson County Health Insurance Plan, so long as JCTA is responsible for all costs associated with placing their employees on the Johnson County Health Insurance Plan. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Johnson County Commissioners of Johnson County that Johnson County approves of the placement of the JCTA employees on the Johnson County Health Insurance Plan upon application by JCTA and acceptance by Johnson County, if JCTA is responsible for all costs associated with placing their employees on the Johnson County Health Insurance Plan. Approved and adopted the 6th day of June 2023, Johnson County Commissioners.
I would like to have that Barry Crago did review this.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Clerk. I believe he helped you draft it. Commissioners, this is Resolution 703. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
I second.
I have a motion and a second to approve.
I actually have a question. Does that include the pension?
Ma'am, hang on.
I'm sorry.
So I'll ask for public comment.
Okay. Perfect.
So, yep, thank you. We do try to maintain decorum here. So, commissioners, any questions before I move to take a question from the audience? All right. I do believe we have a question from the audience. We ask that you please stand, introduce yourself so that the clerk can put your name in the record with your comment.
Perfect. I'm Amy Williams of Buffalo. I wondered if that included the pensions or is it just health insurance?
That is thank a very you. Good question, and it does not. This is just the health insurance.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions or public comment? Hearing none. Commissioners, all those in favor of Resolution 703, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, I believe you had a chance to review the agreement with the Game and Fish for the North Access Lake Smith. This is a grant award to us in the amount of $175,000 towards the purchase of that North Access.
That's correct. I've had a chance to review it. It's in line with what we agreed and the things that we have discussed with the Game and Fish about what they want from us and what we need from them, and everything's in order.
Commissioners, did you have a chance to review this? Any questions for Mr. Ruby?
No, I've reviewed it. It seems to be in line with what we had discussed in our several meetings. And I would recommend that we approve it.
Yeah.
I will make that in the form of a motion.
Okay, there is a motion. Is there a second?
There is a second.
I have a motion and a second, which would allow us at this point, if there's any questions or public comment. Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the Game and Fish grant agreement, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, commissioners, the next item on our agenda are essentially requests to draft four letters on behalf of Johnson County using our cooperating agency status. As you're aware, the BLM has a new conservation rule out that would be detrimental to agriculture, to potentially travel and tourism, and especially to our energy industry. The comments are due at June 20th. The second, as you're aware, the state of Wyoming has requested actions by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. My hope is that you will allow me to draft comment in support of that and also reiterating our opposition to grizzlies ever being located in the Bighorn National Forest. Pertaining to sage grouse, you are aware that Sidget is drafting new maps. This is working in tandem with efforts by the Bureau of Land Management for their sage grouse rule that covers the western United States, not just Wyoming. And then the third, which these will be due in August, I believe it is August 8th. This is the revisions to the BLM coal screening. That was the meeting that I was at last month that if the court is successful, it would prohibit future coal leasing. And we know how detrimental that would be to our local economy, between the number of people that live in Johnson County that work in the coal mines, but as well as the people who live and work in Gillette, who recreate in Johnson County and purchase things here. So, commissioners, I am asking permission to draft four separate comments to the BLM in those. The grizzly bear letter would actually be to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and these would be under our status as a cooperating agency.
Not only would I make a motion that we approve it, I would highly recommend.
Second that. There is a motion and a second to allow the chairman to author public comments on the four issues. Is there any questions or discussion? Yes, sir.
Dr. Garrett Lindemann. I'm a citizen of Buffalo. I also work for Ramaco Coal up in Sheridan, and I'll point you towards their recent newsletters and news articles and the articles on their website, because what they're finding is rare earth elements, those elements used in green energy, are being found lying within the intergurgent of the coal. So by having the BLM stop the leasing of the coal property, BLM property, you will detrimentally impact the rare earth elements and the future jobs, especially if you continue down this track of green earth or green energy.
Thank you.
Sir, would you mind repeating your name for me?
Garrett Lindemann, GarrettLindemann, PhD.
It's like it sounds.
Yes, ma'am. Comment? Carrie Agin, I'm a geologist. Rare earth elements are everywhere. Just depends on how much and where they are. So you could literally mine every scoopful of dirt on this earth and find rare earth elements. So this is beyond ridiculous. Thank you.
The trick is being able to permit the area. In the case of Ramaco, they already have a permit. You look at other areas, true, they occur everywhere, but do they occur in concentrations large enough to make it economical?
Any further public comment? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, the motion for you is to allow the drafting of four comments by the chair. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on your agenda is we have a vacancy on the Johnson County Tourism Association Board, and Mr. Adam Todd has applied for this position. He works in the travel and tourism industry, which is a requirement to serve on this board. He has a outfitting business as well as he's a realtor.
Go ahead.
He served on it before too much. Would approve that for that board.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second to appoint Adam Todd to the tourism board. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. And clerk, I believe you have a series of catering permits before us. Looks like the first is for the Elmer Wedding. This is at the Johnson County Fairgrounds on the 23rd of June. This would be by Taylor's Invasion Bar. Have all the fees been paid, and is all the paperwork in order?
Commissioner, yes.
Okay. Second is for the Longmire Night Rodeo at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. These are slated for June 22nd, 29th, July 6th, 13th, and 20th. And August 10th. Looks like Taylor's Invasion Bar will also be catering these night rodeos at the fairgrounds. All paperwork and fees in order for this request for the Longmire Night Rodeos.
Yes, sir. I'll call in and wait.
Okay. Looks like the final request. This is for the Sullivan Wedding. This will be a wedding reception at 73 Whitetail Lane on the 26th of August. Again, this will be Taylor's Invasion Bar catering this wedding. For all fees paid and all paperwork in order for the Sullivan Wedding Reception.
Yes, all is in order.
Commissioners, before you are a series of catering permits that are all being done by Taylor's Invasion Bar. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve all permits.
I do have a question.
Yes.
So, you know, usually we're doing just nights at one night at a time, but now we've got multiple nights. What happens if they get, you know, the lightning, they cancel that rodeo? How does that permit?
It is issued for that day at those times. Yep. So it's one of those use it or lose it.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the catering permits. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Commissioners, that brings us now to the vouchers for the month. They are big, and that is partially because we're getting to the end of the fiscal year. Did anyone have any questions or vouchers they would like the clerk to pull? I visited with her this morning on one for the youth camp and a couple of others. My questions have been answered.
Yeah, she answered mine just at the start of this, so I'm good.
I have not.
So, Madam Clerk, did you need the commissioners to add anything to the vouchers before we approve these?
No additions.
Okay. So, commissioners, is there a motion to approve the vouchers in the amount of $2,719,907.60?
Make a motion to approve.
There is a motion and a second.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business that you needed us to transact?
I have no additional business.
Mr. Ruby?
I do not have anything else.
Ms. Telka?
No, definitely.
Okay. We have completed the items on our regular agenda, which would now bring us into a time of public comment. Jared, please, again, remember.
I'm Jerry Sparing. I just wanted to amplify the comment made by the gentleman that was sitting over there. Mr. Novotny, you project wonderfully. Mr. Perry and Mr. Shelley, when you talk to Mr. Novotny, none of us, well, us that have harder hearing, cannot hear what you're saying. And I'd just like to amplify that, and hopefully you will amplify your comments. Thank you.
I'll work on it. Thank you.
We'll work on that. We'll talk to you instead of him. I have a comment that's be directed to the Johnson County Tourism Board. The grounds at the satellite Joint Chamber of Commerce building, and I'm not sure who is in charge of that, but the groundskeeping there is deplorable. And the fountain doesn't work, and I've got several comments from individuals around the community about the fountain being out there if it isn't going to be maintained. We have a 1% committee that I'm sure would fund repairs and probably take care of money to mow the grass out there.
I can answer quite a few of your questions. Jody Sowers, I'm the chair for the Tourism Board. The Chamber of Commerce is handling all of the lawns and the contracts out at the Visitor Center. We are providing them funding to take care of that, but they are taking care of all of it. I did see an email yesterday that they have been getting bids on the grass, and that was approved yesterday to go with, I believe it was Smith Mowing, and they were going to reach out to them and get that taken care of right away. I believe the fountain is a city property, so I would have to check with the city and see where that is. I know when YDOT redid that part of the highway there, the Chamber of Commerce gave the city the land to put that fountain there. So I think it's probably a city fountain, but I can check with Julie and find some information out on that.
Next time we have a city-county meeting, I will bring it up to them. And
it'd be nice to have
a beautiful monument, yeah. And the community has spent the money on it and not be maintained or removed.
Jennifer McCormick, Johnson County Tourism Board member. When I worked at the Chamber was when the fountain stopped working. When the Chamber was managing that visitor's facility, they put the cameras in and looked for everything. They believe there's a cracked pipe under it, but after that, no one's ever really done anything about it. And I know there have been different companies who offered to help with the funding for getting that up and running, and I'm more than happy to give the city that information.
Thank you.
Any other questions from us?
Additional public comment. Yes, sir.
Can't hear them again. First, I want to remind everybody that today is D-Day. By this time, in Normandy, they've broken through, but a total of 4,414 Allied forces died today. Of that, 2,501, and I'm sure a few of them were from Wyoming, not from Buffalo. My second purpose here today is to request that the county commissioners have a town hall evening meeting to respond to questions about property taxes. This is, as you know, a hot topic, and people would like to directly ask you to answer their questions. There's several people in the group that I represent that have been to several different property tax meetings in Sheridan and in Buffalo with Cindy Barlow and Chuck Gray and representatives up in Sheridan. It'd be great if you guys would consent to have that meeting and include Mr. Crago. I'll take questions.
Carrie Agin, I would like Mr. Kinski involved as well.
Okay.
Our state senator.
Okay.
Our local senator.
Yeah, Sheridan, Wyoming. Or Sheridan and Buffalo.
Yes.
Sheridan, Johnson County. No comment, Mr. Novotny?
Sir, this is a time for public comment, so this is...
That's a public comment.
And I've heard it, and I've taken it under advisement. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take that as a no. Thank you very much.
Any additional public comment?
I'm Laura Ulrich. I'm the president on the board of directors for the animal shelter. Last meeting I was here, I gave you all a 2022 annual report. Unfortunately, right after I submitted it, I discovered a typo on it, so I would just like to provide you with updated copies. That's okay.
Thank you.
I don't remember who wants me to come.
Any additional public comment?
Thank you.
Carrie Agin, this is my fourth time coming before you about the COVID-19 injections. They are gene modifying, they are not vaccines. They have been wrongly labeled as vaccines to sell them to the public, to dupe us into taking them. They are still experimental. There are no long-term studies, and in fact, the clinical trials that have been done were complete shams. The FDA was sued in order to make the Pfizer data available to the public. They wanted to hide it for 75 years. I believe that's all been released now. They're working on the Moderna. In this clinical trial data, there are no less than 400 separate instances of fraud, malfeasance, purposeful statistical manipulation to make these look less harmful and more effective than they really are. 90% of the pregnant women in the clinical trial lost their babies. These are neither effective nor safe, and yet they are still being pushed on us 3.5 years later. And now I have found out that they are being pushed on animals. These are gene modifying. These little operating systems go everywhere in the body. They attach to a cell, an individual cell. They snip out a portion of its genetic code. They replace it with a pre-programmed, patented sequence of genes. That cell no longer functions as its original function. It's no longer an eye cell. It's no longer a heart cell. It's no longer a lung cell. It instead pumps out the spike protein that is found on the outside of the spikes of the coronavirus, and these are toxic. These are toxic to our bodies and animals' bodies. So the cells are not only being changed and not only not doing what they're originally designed to do, but now they're pumping out a toxin. So our immune systems are also hijacked, and whatever's left of them have to go into high gear to combat this toxin. People are getting VAIDS, vaccine-induced AIDS, because their immune systems are shot. People are getting what is termed turbo cancers, because they're fine at one checkup. 3, 4, 6 months later, they're not feeling well, they go in for another checkup. They have stage 3, stage 4 cancer. And cancers in places in the bodies that have been previously rare. I submitted a formal complaint to this body last July to investigate and shut down these gene-modifying injections. You all neither looked at any of the information I provided nor assessed it properly. You shut me down. You shut the people of Wyoming down. You shut down the people who have been injured by these so-called vaccines. I amended and resubmitted that complaint earlier this year, and nothing's happened. In fact, you intimated the last time I was before you in this body that you, as the county commissioners, could do nothing. But that is not true. I have found out from one of our state legislators, an impeccable source, that you do have the authority to shut down dangerous products. And yet here we are. They're still available and they're still being pushed on us. And they're putting them in animals. There's a study out of Japan that this crap can be expressed in the milk of cattle, so that those of us who resisted getting this crap injected into us can now get it put into us through milk and meat. There's a study out of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology that this can be absorbed through the human digestive system into our bloodstreams. So we will be modified simply by eating animals that have been modified. This is beyond unacceptable. This is horrifying. This is a horror. This is many horror movies and sci-fi movies and books and plots all rolled into one. I implore you one more time to shut this down. You have the authority. I apologize, I cannot cite that to you where in the ordinances and whatnot that is, but my source is impeccable in our state legislature that you have the authority. I implore you, again, shut this down. Not only the COVID injections, but all this crap being given to animals. This is dangerous. This has not been studied properly. There are no long-term health or safety studies. There are no studies about the longevity of the animals after this or their reproductive capabilities. There's a lot of livestock in this state. A lot of livestock whose value depends almost entirely, like bulls, on their genetics. Do the ranchers understand that their animals' genetics are being altered and therefore their value? Do they understand they could be going out of business simply because Big Pharma wants more money? I do not have the paperwork with me, but I am again submitting my formal complaint. I expect action upon this, because you do have the authority. At least investigate this properly, please. Thank you.
Any further public comment?
Are there any responses to me by the committee, by the commission on this?
Hi, Garrett Lindman again. Probably getting tired of me. Let me introduce myself a bit further. I have a PhD in mammalian molecular genetics, 30 years in life sciences as an entrepreneur and as an employee of companies like Roche Pharmaceuticals. I actually hold a patent in detection of the spike protein. I follow this very closely. I have deep experience in everything that she spoke about. I agree with about 98% of what she said, but I take a different eye towards it. They are very dangerous. In fact, they silence the inventor of the mRNA vaccine. And he's the one that said it's an experimental vaccine. He won a court case recently, so he can speak openly about it. There's a lot of information not being presented, is being suppressed, even by our local paper, about this vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's not been approved. There's many FDA irregularities, and in fact, the NIH went so far as to suppress luminaries in this area, including from Johns Hopkins and Harvard. So I don't know what your powers are. I'll take your word for it. You have the power to investigate and stop dangerous items from being done, you know, sold, used within the county. But she is correct. It is not a vaccine. It is dangerous. And we will see, my projection is, we'll see a depopulation of the world, a depopulation of the U.S. that will probably approach 60%. So, to bring things full circle, you should probably consider going back to an acquisition tax. Thank you.
Any further public comment?
I have one to add. There's also...
Ma'am, please introduce yourself so the clerk can get your name with your comments.
Oh,
thank you.
You want my name? Marianne Ferrari. Anything else you need? There is a substance called graphene oxide in these shots. It is the most conductive substance known to man. It is also probably the most toxic substance. It is made in nano form, so small you can't tell it's in there. But it has this magnetic property, so the bits, the little nano bits, self-aggregate, and they're actually building miniature send and receive electronic devices, because it's like a metal. It's not a metal, but it acts like a metal. And they plan to use these things to literally communicate into people's brains and make them do things. That's the purpose of it. But in the meantime, it's killing people faster than the virus. The other effect that it has is to cause the person who has been injected to produce millions and millions of the spike proteins and shed them all over the place. So anyone in contact with them if they eat the same food, like if they take it from their plate or if they kiss them or whatever, they're going to get it inside them too. They're going to spread. It's going to spread to other people that are close to that other person. And there's nothing to stop it. It couldn't be worse. It couldn't be more horrific, in my view. And people ought to know about it and be aware and find out more. There's proof all over the place on the web, and I would be happy to produce some for you and make it accessible to you if you so desire. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Public comment? Public comment. Hearing none, I'll go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Please.